Hey, Jeff.
Welcome to Hey Jeff, aka Hey Julie, a podcast about Survivor 46. Big Brother, what number we got, Big Brother, coming up? 26?
26.
Wow.
Getting a little bit long in the tooth. I said that with confidence, but I'm not sure, actually.
Getting a little bit long in the tooth. Getting a little bit like, oh, I can't drink that much on a Saturday night, Big Brother. You know?
Right. Yeah. Wow. 26. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, hey, Danielle, how are you?
Hi, I'm very well. How are you? It's Easter weekend. If people care about Easter. I had the day off yesterday, and for that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the holiday for that.
We got Good Friday. We got Good Friday. We got Easter Sunday. What is the Saturday called?
Saturday is nothing, but there's also Easter Monday. Aren't you aware?
Like, no.
Like some people have Monday off.
I don't have any days off.
No, I know. You never take days off. Yeah.
I never take days off. I hustle. I bring 110%.
Yeah, you're grinding. You're grinding it out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
A lot of eggs in my weekend this weekend.
Yeah, you have a child, so it's all eggs. I don't care. It's all eggs. Whatever.
Eggs and bunnies. Yeah, it's just another weekend to you. You don't care. There's chocolate to be had.
Yeah, I'm going to like a socialist book launch party tonight. So like that's what we do here in the socialist state of California.
Is it like a philosopher's lounge?
I don't know what it is. My friend invited me.
It's a salon of free thinkers.
Oh my god, leaders. We gotta bring back salons. We gotta bring back thought salons.
Yeah.
Hey Julie, aka Hey Jeff, is a thought salon.
Exactly.
It's just two people participate. No one else. You could participate if you watched on YouTube. We're doing it on the YouTube.
Yeah.
Matt May is in the chat.
Rapping.
Danielle, if you're not watching on YouTube, which most of you are not, we have little chyrons. We change our names every. It's like a bit we do. We change our names every time. It says it says Brett, Danielle, and then underneath you can put something. You can put like 23, single, dentist, assistant.
It's our lower third,
Danielle says, I watch Survivor. Now, this is troubling to me. Danielle, you said you have something to say. Will you say it?
Well, I'll share that. I think Brett's worried that I didn't watch the episode of Survivor this week. I did watch it. I put this is like, your questions about me watching Survivor are answered by my I Watch Survivor t-shirt. I watched Survivor. But then after finishing the episode, I immediately forgot pretty much everything that happened. My husband was like, so who got voted off? I was like, I don't know. So I had to go back and rewatch the second, like the last 20 minutes of it today, just because it's like watching, what I have to say about Survivor this season, it's like watching an AI version of Survivor where I just like, I'm like, I feel like they don't care. And so I don't care. You know, like it's like they just put the words into ChatGPT. They put the words like Vixen on the green team and like purple Venus? Team sucks. Yeah, Venus, the Vixen. Purple team sucks. Guy who could have been a doctor, but instead chose Survivor based on the fact this part did make me feel something at least, even though it was anger. The fact that Hunter, who could have been a doctor, was chosen to go to that extra special challenge where it's like, the whole thing is like, prove you're a fan of Survivor. And this guy,
I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I don't remember seeing Survivor. That either.
No, they usually don't play within the lore of Survivor.
Well, they
usually
are this
don't
time.
Have to know stuff.
Yeah, but his whole life has been based upon the fact that he's a big fan of Survivor, and then he lost this challenge. I'm telling you, he is not invited home for the holidays. He should be cut off from society.
He's but not anyway. Invited on Pod Has a Robcast.
No, definitely not. I just like, I don't know, watching it fills me with just like such nothing. So I like, it's like, yes, I watched Survivor, but aside from like chatting about it with you, I'm like, I can't believe what is this show giving anyone in their life? This can't be satisfying to anyone watching.
No, it's not. It's not. I actually heard another podcast that's not about Survivor, but the host briefly mentioned that he watches Survivor and that he's been feeling a little bit weighted by the 90-minute to 2-hour runtime, and that it just doesn't, it lacks the pep. For me, it lacks the immediacy. It lacks the, I gotta watch this on Wednesday night. Danielle, I got, Danielle, you're on mute, by the way, just letting you know. you still are, whatever. Anyways, you can just listen to me while you figure that out. I didn't watch it on Wednesday night. I didn't watch it on Thursday night. I will tell you, when I watched Survivor, I got up, not by choice, at 5 o'clock in the morning today, Saturday morning, because it's raining. It's raining so hard in California, it woke me up, the pitter-patter on my roof. It woke me up, and I still had not watched Survivor yet. I was planning on watching Survivor before this podcast, but it was about 5:15 in the morning, and I thought, well, no better time than now. So I just watched it this morning, so it's very fresh in my mind. And maybe I understand why you muted yourself.
No, that I didn't mute on purpose. I had a technical difficulty. Oh, okay. It got unplugged. Gotcha. That's not why. People are used to my screaming child at the beginning of the podcast.
No, okay, it's okay. That's fine.
This is what happens. She's a toddler. She's high on sugar. She doesn't want to take a nap. It's fine.
So I'm surprised, though, that you watched it and you didn't remember, because this is one of the biggest, let's get into it, one of the biggest hashtag Brett was wrong moments of,
maybe that's why I knew I had to go back and rewatch, because I knew I had to like lap that up. There was a little talk in the Discord and
People were spicy. People were ready to dunk on Brett.
Yeah. I think what they want really, Brett, is our answers from you.
They want accountability.
Yeah, exactly. They want you to just like face it and just give your truth to this huge development.
My truth is I was wrong. Power corrupts, which Absolutely. Is why I'll never be in power. Because I couldn't stand to be corrupted. Here we go. Here's my notes app apology. Power corrupts. Jem was playing so well. The moment she got the little beads in her hand, she went crazy. She started going up to everyone. Who are you voting out? Tell me who. I got a knife. I'm going to hold a knife to your throat. Who are you voting out? She didn't do that. But it was like she did it. I don't know. I can't defend my girl.
Well, no. She was great. It's indefensible. She's out. She's out. She's a loser.
She's a loser. She went home. Enjoy your souvenir. You know, like I'm wrong. Hashtag Brett was wrong today. She was so clearly a Brett-y all-star, but it's time to move on. It's time for me to place the kiss of death on someone else. And I don't have that decision yet, but maybe I'll make it before the end of the episode.
The issue is, like, Brett-y all-stars, they can never see the sun. They can never see the light. Once the light touches them, they combust. You know, they have to hide away and live their lives in darkness to be true Brett-y all-stars and make it to the end. And she wasn't able to do that. She got a little taste of that sunshine, that heat, and she wanted out, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad,
but whatever. I was just shocked. I will give them a little credit, the purple team, that they actually won something. Because their whole thing has been, they're sort of like the Eeyore of teams. They lose everything. Mm-hmm. They're the only ones who've been to tribal council. I was so ready for them to lose this challenge too. Also, I didn't realize that they haven't had fire this whole time. They brought that up. So they've just been like that cold. Is wild. Speaking of living in darkness, they've just been like cold and hungry this whole time. So I was a little, you know, good for them that they finally won something. And it was good to see. That's the other problem with this season is, since they're the only ones who have been to tribal council, once this other team, the green team, finally went to tribal, I was sort of like, oh, who are these people? I only know the purple team at this point.
Yeah. I imagine 11 days Imagine for 11 days not eating food other than a coconut a day and not feeling warmth on your skin, on your body, not sleeping.
It's a little
warm. I mean, during the day, it's warm. Yeah. You feel the warmth of the sun, but the minute the sun goes down, you're just like, this sucks. And you can't sleep. So you're just like, I don't know why anyone would go on this show.
You're sleeping on the bamboo and you get medvaced because you slept on it wrong and then you might lose your arm. Yeah. No, I don't see the appeal of going on this show either. I don't see the appeal of going on this show. I don't see the appeal of watching this show anymore. Unless if you're Jeff. Jeff has got the best deal around.
Jeff loves it. There's a bit to talk about Jeff Wise today because a few things happened. One, going back to Hunter's little game, little gambit when he's like doing the puzzle of putting all the Survivor logos in order. It was very interesting. I flashed back to, well, here's what happened. He's doing it. And he's like, oh, I remember Survivor whatever because Sandra was on it. I remember this one because Russell was on it. I remember this one because Poverty was on it. And I flashed back to a month ago when little Jeffrey went on a little podcast and said, I don't like villains. I want everyone to sing Kumbaya and split the $1 million. I want everyone to kiss. I want to hold them like little Barbie and Ken dolls and make them smooch. I don't want any conflict on Survivor. That's not fun for me, Jeff, the millionaire. But as Hunter was going through and doing all those things, all they were showing were villains. All they were showing were people who were literally on the villain tribe of Survivor's Heroes versus Villains. It's like, are you so disconnected from the show that you executive produce and host that you don't like? They built out this segment for this reason, to highlight some previous moments, big players, memories from Survivor, and it's like these people. It's not like some sweet old man who was voted out fourth or some shit like that.
No, it's the people you remember. I can't name anyone from the past 5 seasons. I can't name a single one.
Jam.
Did he win?
Caroline, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Caroline. Yeah. Yeah, Caroline was pretty good. Yeah.
Caroline,
excuse me. It's it's a low. I mean... I'm sorry. I'm sure people are like, stop talking shit about Survivor, the show I love, the reason I'm listening to this podcast. But it is.
No, they're not. They're listening to it for us. Matt May in the chat. I have never watched any episode of Survivor, but here I am. For some reason, I'm starting to question my life choices. This is the podcast of questioning your life choices, of not watching things. We ask you to listen to our podcast. Nay, download the podcast. Don't even listen to it. Just delete it. And do the same thing with Survivor. You don't have to watch Survivor to watch this podcast. We don't.
Did you,
Big Brother? Good luck. Good luck, season 26 of Big Brother. If we average 2 episodes of Survivor, what's over under 1.5 episodes of Survivor per week are you watching?
What do you mean?
Oh, Big Brother. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. How many? At first, it'll be the same as usual. At first, I'll watch every episode, and then I'll gradually stop watching the Sunday night episode. As usual, I do have a Survivor question for you based on this week's episode, which I did watch. Yeah. Did you think that the reward challenge, like croissants, looked good?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, I do love baked goods. I just love carbs.
Yeah.
Chocolate muffin, a blueberry muffin,
mm-hmm.
some watermelon.
Such dainty little bites when they're eating it, when they're like, oh my gosh, this is the best blueberry muffin I've ever had. But then they take these tiny little bites. If I was starving on the island, I'd be like Homer Simpson with the donuts, stuffing it in.
Q would come back and there would be nothing left. Yeah. I'd be like, sorry, boss. Yeah. Jeff came. He ate it all.
I think this is correct. Philip G in the chat said, the 90 minutes killed this show. That's 30 extra minutes of filler. A woman learning to jump? Hell no. I agree. I totally agree. You need to keep things lean and fit. Here's something I saw in the discourse on Twitter. Someone was saying like, people are tired of 6-episode seasons. People want 22 episodes. I got to go back to that. And I'm like, no, you and your writer friends might want that because you get paid more. I understand that everyone's got to make a living, but I don't want to watch 20. I don't want to see writers like stretch out a season for more than 20 episodes again. That was actually not good TV. We need to lean it up. We need to trim, spring cleaning. Let's get fit. Let's keep these episodes 60 or less, 60 minutes or less.
No one ever is like, you know what was really good? A season 4 of Chicago Hope.
There's like, okay, when I watch Big Brother, when I watch Survivor, which I do watch, there's like, there's this like picture, the key art to promote FBI. I think it's FBI.
We love FBI. We love the Dick Wolf universe.
No, it's 911.
911. Oh, well, you get weird channels because nothing's on the right channel.
But like the key art to promote.
You live like 20 miles away from America and it's just like, Jenga. They're just like, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. American Idol's on this one.
It is a picture of the Titanic. It's like, for some reason, it's like half submerged, humongous ship.
No, it's the season premiere of 911.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
With Garrett Dillahunt and,
yeah, and Angela Bassett.
Yeah, and what's her face? And not Jamie Lee. She's got three names. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, it's Titanic. And I guess it's like, what if Titanic could call 911? Like, is that the point of the season premiere?
I don't think it's Titanic. I think it's just a cruise ship.
Yeah. But they want, you know, they did that because they want to get the Titanic fans to watch.
What Titanic fans? That movie's almost 30 years old.
Yeah. But it's still the best movie ever made.
Danielle, we're off Survivor. Danielle, have you ever been to a Bubba Gump Shrimp Company restaurant?
No, I haven't.
Do you know that they exist? I mean, I think there was one in Times Square.
Yeah, of course I know.
I went to one somewhat recently for the first time ever. You know that the fucking gift of 1994 is still, the wish of 1994 is still alive and strong in the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company restaurant. Because to this day, there is still a restaurant chain where the restaurant chain's theme is Forrest Gump, the movie. They play Forrest Gump on the TVs. All of the menu items are Forrest Gump puns. Like, they have a Forrest Gump merch store.
Why are you 30 saying
years
this?
Later? And, and Forrest Gump is a fine movie, but it's just like, what? What's going on? Sally... What's her face?
Hunt. No.
Sally Fields, the mom. Fields and Hunt.
Hunting in the fields. How dare you be upset about this, Brett? You're the one who went there.
I'm voluntarily. Upset. I got a bucket of fried shrimp. I had a good time.
You voluntarily went and spent your hard-earned money from your hustle and grind daily life.
Yeah.
You spent it. And so clearly you enjoy
crypto
it. So
gains. Guess
what? The market demands the Bubba Gump restaurant experience.
You think Memphis owns Bubba Gump?
He better if he wants to get through that divorce with the
With good her? Payment.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also needs to get security. He needs to get round-the-clock security. She's going to drive a freaking tank through his door. Up.
I know. Brett goes to themed restaurants a lot.
I go to Universal City Walk to watch movies in IMAX. And then I get there an hour early. I'm like, well, what should I do? Well, I'm with friends. Where should we go? Should we go to the Jimmy Buffett theme restaurant? Should we go to the Forrest Gump theme restaurant?
Yeah.
There's only two options.
You went with
Gump. There's an NBC themed restaurant.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go to that one. Wow. Joy True says you can go into the depths of the center of the earth and the one available restaurant will be Bubba Gump. We don't actually have a Bubba Gump here in Toronto.
You don't touch water.
Yes, we do. We have so many lakes. It's lakes, though.
Do they have shrimp? Our shrimp must be a saltwater creature.
Yeah, no, you can't get a shrimp in a lake. If you find a shrimp in a lake, that shrimp is not... is not supposed to be there. We have a lot. Listen, this is sort of like along the lines of our podcast. Yes, Brett?
No. I did have like a bunch more Survivor thoughts.
Okay, well, go ahead. We care? Go ahead. Well, no, I care. I mean, do I care? No.
No.
But someone who listens to this podcast might. I think you should do it for them. I think you should do it for the people, like not for me, not for Matt May, but do it for like the people who actually care about Survivor, who listen, who I'm sure they're out there that listen to this. And if they,
okay,
if they're listening to it and they hear me quickly, go no, they hate me.
Quickly. Okay, I have two strategy things that I'm just going to put a little pin in, okay, putting a little bet on Brett being right in the future. Q, who for 4 weeks was physically torturing Banu, was threatening to murder his family, much like Aquaman's family, was threatening to kill his family and end his bloodline.
Yeah.
And when Banu goes on the journey, he's like, everyone's so mean to me. Kenzie's a mastermind. Q and Tiffany are best friends. All that stuff. And Q is like ready to explode because you don't go on the journey and then instantly give up all your beans. And Q goes on the journey and he instantly gives up all of his beans. And he's like, we should form an alliance. I'm really tight with Tiff. We should do that. We're all really strong players because I'm a strong player. And it's like, dude, you're literally doing everything you got mad at Bonnie about. Okay, next. Why did we need Jem out? Why did Maria. There's Maria, Mariah on the same tribe. What are we doing? Jelensky. His name is Mike Jelensky. There's nobody else named Mike on this season. Why does he get a nickname and there's Maria Mariah? Maria has two votes, had a bonus vote to use up until there were six people remaining in the game, and she uses it instantly to get out Jem? What are we doing? Okay, cool. Like, whatever, fine. Jem was a mastermind because I, Brett, ordained her to be so. I proclaimed it on this podcast, but I just think it's weird that like you had an opportunity, like Maria is going to go far in the game, I think. And you to have that power in your pocket, like, and to use it instantly when you had the votes anyways, it would have been 3-2 and you still like, it was, the vote was 4-2. She used two votes, like use math, whatever. Okay. That's it.
If I listened to this podcast, Brett, because I like Survivor.
You'd have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I would be like, oh my God, thank God for Brett. Like that rant you just went on, which I understood none of, if I did watch it like Survivor, then I would love you for it. I would have been, so thank that's you. For you people out there.
Sorry, Danielle. Let's get our escape velocity jetpacks on and let's leave Survivor Tiki Island.
Yeah. I'm alive on Survivor. That's still not playing for you guys.
No, but I forgot to send it to you. I recorded it. There was, because there's no way you would have gotten it because it was for an American sports event, but they had this, they clearly shot this thing in 4 seconds. I'm going to text it to you right now.
Text it to me. Good. This will be great.
This is going
to
be great.
We should just text throughout the rest of the podcast. Text our thoughts to each other. I can build up with the next.
No, I'm texting. It's 10 seconds long, but it's like a promo for the Masters, which is a golf event on CBS. There's no way you would have gotten it. And it's Jeff. And he's like doing the thing of like, Survivor's ready for the challenge, go. And he's like looking off screen in a very weird way. Like it's just like not the right angle. And yes, it's the green jacket thing, Joy True. he's like, hey, golfers, are you ready to survive for the green jacket? Okay, golfers ready, golfers go. But he's like looking, he's not looking into the camera. He's looking away, but he's clearly talking to no one. Clearly what happened is,
I'm not receiving.
And he kind of looks like he's in LA as well. Like, just like the foliage is like not Fiji foliage. It's like, he's like in Florida? Thousand Oaks or some shit. No, it's like in LA. And it's like, he's in a hill. Like, I can just tell, because the hill behind him is brown. I'm like, that's a hill in LA.
Oh, okay.
And he's just like, they're like, oh shit, we forgot. We need to do like some sort of Survivor preview tie-in because the Masters starts in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Jeff, can you like throw on the hat and the fucking khaki REI shirt and like pretend that the golfers are survivors? And he's like, can I film it in 4 seconds? And they're like, sure. And that's what was on television.
Okay. Well, now I can you see me?
Yeah.
It broke my computer, this clip. I like can't get it off. Okay, I will watch it later.
Great.
I don't think I can watch it right now. Brett's in the background like he was. Oh, that would be great if Brett was in the background like he was in the Kelce doc.
Of what? Of Survivor? Of Jeff?
Of Jeff's of promo. Jeff?
Of you? Of your things?
Like that would have been a great, it would have been exciting if you were in the background of this clip once I finally got it open, but
okay.
You are. You aren't. And the clip nearly broke my computer. My computer's under a lot of stress.
You can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on your phone.
Should I do it right now?
No. Okay. I just talked about it for like 3 minutes. You had an ample chance to watch it. And now it's just pause for 10 seconds.
It didn't come through.
Oh my God. Oh, whatever you want to do. What else do we need to talk about?
I watched Wonka.
Oh!
The thing.
Let's go. Hit me with it.
The thing I've been talking for the wanted.
I've been talking about Survivor for the last 17 minutes straight without a pause and just cutting you off every time you try to talk. Now you can go.
People begged on their hands and knees, much like Banu.
Sir.
They said, please watch Wonka. We need to know what you think about Wonka. Because the time has so passed on a Wonka cast anyway. Like, Wonka is so old news. But
I'm not watching it. I've seen clips of that movie. I am not watching it. And I'm a Paddington stan. Yeah. I'm a Paddington originalist.
Noodle, apple strudel. So here's the thing. Guess what? Did I watch it with my 2-year-old child who is the appropriate audience for this movie? No, I waited till she went to bed. And I said, oh, Philip G says, Danny's still crushing on Timotei. Guess what? Actually, yes. After watching this movie, I'm like, you know what? That Timothée Chalamet has the it factor. There is something very, because like Willy Wonka is supposed to be kind of creepy based on Gene Wilder. But this is him in a younger, more adorable.
Pre-child torturous.
Yeah, exactly. He's just young. He wants to, what's the word I'm looking for? He's just so young. It's like so cute. His eyes are so sparkly. He's so game. Like that's the fun thing about Timothée Chalamet. And I think Austin Butler has this too. Alordi has it too. Like I think we're doing really good right now with our young crop of actors. Remember, I was bemoaning our lack of young actors a while ago. Yes, he has the riz. And it's like, I don't even think he's that good an actor in the movie. And he's definitely not that good a singer, but there's just a charm to him. There's an innocence. There's a willingness to do stupid stuff that really won me over. And so is the movie good? No, I don't think the movie is good. It's not meant for me. It's for children. There's so much music. The fact that they tried to make it seem like this was not a musical, that's a musical from the very opening frames. Like it starts with him singing immediately. And there's like also, if you've seen Wonka, he has a friend named Noodle. And the Noodle is like this young girl, like really, she's a kid. But when you're watching it, you're like, this role was obviously originally supposed to be for like his love interest. And they just aged it down because they were like, we need a kid in this movie. Because so much of the plot, I was like, this could have been Zendaya, you know, and they could have been in love. But they didn't go that route. Also, Olivia Colman is in this movie. I just need people.
Queen.
Oscar winner, Olivia Colman.
Everyone's in this movie. They put out like 70 different character posters.
I would actually say, a surprising lack of people are in this movie. Like, maybe if you're a real British, like Britbox head, you would know a lot of these people, but I'm not. So I was like, why couldn't they have gotten like real stars for these parts other than like Keegan-Michael? Wait, who is it? Keegan-Michael?
What's his name? He's in everything. He's in Keegan-Michael Key. He's in everything.
Keegan-Michael Key. Yeah. Yeah.
He's because there was like all these character posters and it's like Keegan-Michael Key is like Constable Rufflebox and yeah. Olivia Colman is Queen Duchess of Pudding. And this movie looks like it sucks. And then I've seen clips of it and it really looks like it sucks.
Here's the thing, but it's like cute. It's cute.
That's fine. Paddington is cute and good.
I don't know. I've never watched Paddington.
You sure? You have a child.
But you love Les Mis, and you know...
I do love Les Mis. Les Mis is the only good musical produced during the decade of the 1980s.
If you really liked Les Mis, you would love what Olivia Colman plays. Olivia Colman plays, like, Master of the House. So it's pretty, actually, they even have, Mrs. like, a Master Tenardier. Of the House song. Yeah. It's, like, such a blatant knockoff of Master of the House. So
Master of the House is a banger.
Yeah. So, you know, it's got its highs. I wouldn't. And obviously, Hugh Grant as the Oompa Loompa does live up to expectations. Although I fear it started like a weird career thing for Hugh Grant, a career renaissance for him, that it's not the route we want to go down. And we'll get to that once we talk about another film on Brett's list. But overall, season three. I thought it was good.
Cool.
And I think Tim is a star. I'm never going to watch it.
I think it did pretty well at the box office. We might have Wonka 2 or whatever. Is there any like thing where it's like, perhaps I shall run a factory and nearly murder 4 children to find my heir?
Not that I remember. I mean, he does have a cane.
That was prior to like 1983. You could just like have a cane, like a decorative cane.
He's like really like the thing about Wonka in this movie is he is so nice. He is really nice. And it's heartwarming. He's like Cinderella. It's really sweet.
I don't want to see a movie about nice people. Well, anyway, no, I did see the Wim Wenders movie about the nice man who cleans toilets.
Yeah, sometimes.
Otherwise, I don't want to see a movie about nice people.
I don't mind. Sometimes people just being like sweeties.
There is a movie about Timothée and Zendaya eating candy. It's called Dune 2.
Yeah.
And by candy, they do space hallucinogens. That's my stuff.
Speaking of Dune 2, yeah, Challengers with Zendaya. I want to see Zendaya doing 2 tennis players is what I want to see.
She is. I'm
excited.
That's in the text of the film. Yeah. America has been waiting for this movie for months.
Yeah, they were
like,
I'm ready.
They're like, Zendaya having a Danny Gibson style menage a trois. That's going to win Oscars. Oh, wait, they can't promote the movie because of the strike. We got to bump this to 2024. Because
this is going to be a big hit. She's already wearing these unbelievable dresses with like tennis rackets on them. I love her style when she's promoting a movie. She's the best.
Oh my God. The chat is lit.
I just had to talk about Wonka because I know people were waiting for that to happen and it finally kind of did.
We can go in 2 directions. We can go in Hugh Grant or we could go in Zendaya.
Let's go Zendaya, because I don't know where you're going with Zendaya. Oh, actually.
I'm going with Zendaya. Okay. So this thing came out yesterday of like Euphoria. Euphoria has not like had a season in like 2 years, right?
Yeah. They're in high school.
And they're in high school, by the way. I think they're like sophomores. And the stars of Euphoria are Zendaya, Sydney Sweeney, Jacob Elordi. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Maude Apatow.
And Maude Apatow, who's like, she's like doing West End stuff. She's like playing, she's doing musicals.
Wow.
And Hunter Schafer. No, I do. No, she was She was Sally Bowles in the West End cabaret revival that is good moving to Broadway.
With her?
And she was not with her.
Okay.
Eddie Redmayne is playing the MC. I don't know how I feel about that.
The good nurse. I don't know
how I feel about it.
Yeah.
The good what?
He played the good nurse in the movie The Good Nurse, which I did watch. But Jesse Chastain. Hey, Julie Fave.
The Danish girl?
No, the good nurse. He's in a movie called The Good Nurse. He plays a nurse who keeps poisoning his patient. No, he poisons
his patient. Oh, that's a bad nurse.
It's like his most memorable role for me.
And then she was Audrey in The Little Shop off-Broadway production about a year ago as well.
Do love.
Why do I know these things? Because I'm broken in the brain. People are, I work in sports and people are like, oh, I like sports and shit. I'm like, no, I'm filled to the brim with off-Broadway theater knowledge. You fools.
Yeah.
You fools. I could talk about Survivor. Anyways, Survivor, no, Euphoria season 3. I thought this shit was like happening. I thought it was like done or whatever. And there was a post on Variety or Deadline or something like that yesterday that were like the evil guy who runs the show, Sam Bankman-Fried. Yeah, whatever. throw both of them in jail. He's like, there's like a, the post was like, in a few months, maybe I'll just pull this up. Give me 2 seconds.
This was, Brett was like all up on this news because this is, Euphoria is Brett's favorite show.
Other after than Industry. Star Galactica and Industry. Industry season 3 is coming.
Personally, I never watched
HBO,
it.
HBO, this is from Variety. HBO has promised the Euphoria cast it will come back to them on October 1st with a solid plan to begin filming season 3 in 2025. The shoot, if it were to happen, would last 25 weeks and the season will likely be reduced from 8 episodes to 6. So many qualifiers, so many modifiers in those 2 sentences. This show with starring now three of the biggest actors in the world.
Yeah.
They're like, we'll get to you on October 1st. It's April 1st in 2 days. So 6 months from now, they're going to be like, maybe next year, can you guys film 6 episodes of a TV show for 6 months?
Also, they're supposed to be in high school.
I love this show.
Yeah.
We are never seeing another episode of this show.
It's over.
Or it's going to be like, you're going to be like, literally, like the first episode of season 3 is going to be like, some random person and like, oh, remember that time where all the people, Zendaya and all those characters whose names I know,
got into a
train accident and died. Anyways, me and my 7 friends also do drugs in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just going to be about that.
They should just treat it like Degrassi. Just do Euphoria, The Next Generation. Just bring in a new cast basically. Of cuties.
Basically. Yeah, they have to.
I mean, they should pat themselves on the back for truly discovering the next generation of movie stars, you know? Yeah, because I forgot about Hunter Schafer, but she's having a great year too.
Yeah, so, she's about to star in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, so they really did a great job. HBO's casting department, snaps to them. But that show is never coming
HBO's
back.
HBO's like line management, line producer department, bad job.
No snaps to you. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's too bad. Did you want... Now I'm curious about the Hugh Grant route.
Hugh Grant route is the Pop-Tart movie. The trailer for...
I have really bad news
for Brett. We are broken. We're fucking broken as a society.
I have such bad news for Brett. So, like...
You liked it?
No, I didn't like it. You liked it? No, okay. It's not that bad
news.
You
loved
it.
You've never eaten a Pop-Tart?
No, it's that. So Brett sent me the trailer for the new Pop-Tarts movie that Jerry Seinfeld decided, like, I'm going to make a career comeback by writing, starring, and directing the Pop-Tarts movie. This is what I'm going to make my big, you know, this is what my movie is going to be. So I watched the trailer and I was like, yeah, this looks like I can't even make sense. I said to Brett, I was like, I need a minute. Like, I couldn't even really make sense of it because it's not satire. It's not like he's making fun of these types of movies because it's like Flaming Hot Cheetos. It's like the Air Nike movie.
No, it's like we're now in the era of biopics about brands.
Right.
And but they're not even biopics. It's like, it is literally a like 100-minute like crack.com or like College Humor sketch. Cause it's like, it's not about something that actually happened because it's like,
yeah,
he's the mayor of Pop-Tarts or the creator of Pop-Tarts. And he's like in the Oval Office with Bill Burr as JFK. And like the Quaker Oatmeal Man is like fighting them they're like, there's like a car chase and Snap, Crackle and Pop are there. It's like,
yeah,
it's literally just like, hey, let's remember, you know, let's remember like, some guys. It's, hey, let's remember some brands.
It's like, here's IP, 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 IP. Yeah. No, the bad news is so I didn't like it, but I saw it like being posted on this other, I don't know if it was on like the pop culture Reddit I'm in or whatever, but like the comments of like the normal people out there were like, wow, this actually looks pretty funny. I might give this a try. People, like, you want the reaction that we wanted this movie to be. Yes, Philip G, the Pop-Tart movie is the first horseman of the apocalypse. That's the reaction. That's the appropriate reaction to this trailer. That is not the reaction that is being had out there, Brett, in the wild. The reaction is like, oh, maybe I'll check this out. Looks kind of fun. That's people, the bad news.
Are brain dead. People, yeah, are brain dead. I should also say this is a Netflix comedy movie, which, you know, there's like these like murder mystery movies that Adam Sandler and Jenny Aniston are farting around in. There's all of these comedy movies and like action comedy movies, which go on Netflix every week. And I never hear a word about. And yet for some reason, it like these movies are being made because they are successful and it's profitable to make them, even if you have to pay Jerry Seinfeld $40 million just for the opportunity to do so. People are watching these movies. I don't know a single one of them. It's like network TV versus like, you know how like network TV versus like high echelon cable TV was 20 years ago, uh-huh, where it's just like millions of people, if not tens of millions of people, were just like watching Everybody Loves Sheldon, but like nobody talked about it, but people were talking about Mad Men or Breaking Bad or The Sopranos or something like that. It's like that. Nobody, even this movie is going to come out and millions of people are going to watch it on Netflix in May or whenever it's coming out. Every single person who's watching it will be watching it staring. The movie will be on their television in their living room, but they'll just be staring at their phone and they'll kind of like look up and they'll see like the Hugh Cheerios, the Honey Nut Cheerios being like, yeah, oops, I farted.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh yeah, that's pretty funny. And no one's going to remember it or watch it ever again. And poor Melissa McCarthy's doing bits in it. She who shall not be named is in it.
Yeah, we all know who you're talking about.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Hugh Grant is in. I don't know what extent Hugh Grant is in this movie.
Hugh Grant and Jerry Seinfeld were good friends. They're friends. They must be for him to have asked.
Hugh Grant, he's just like on backstage. He's just like putting his like headshot and he's like, I'll play like a bumbling bad guy for like 4 minutes in whatever movie you want. I'll do student films.
God. Hugh Grant, have you also seen this movie? Looks like
this movie just looks like a cameo-a-thon where it's just like,
yeah,
oh, who cool, The Rock is here as the Fruit Loops bird. And then he like gets run over by a truck or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like beep, beep, just slapstick and yeah. Uh-huh. I have not seen any Bridget Jones Diary film. I probably would like them. I probably would really like them.
I don't know if you would like it or not, but like the first one is like one of the best movies ever.
The first one. I don't know if the second one, do people like the second one?
Yeah, I think it's okay. I don't know. I mean, I think it's meh. The first one is like amazing. The second one is meh. But Hugh Grant and Colin Firth and Renee Zellweger, you know, when they're like, this is what peak, like male form or female form looks like, or this is what like yeah. men and women used to look like. All three of them, it's just like peak performance in that film. Like, you want a romantic comedy? Like, don't forget the comedy. It's very funny. Yeah. All three of them are very funny in it. That is peak performance right there. So I just have to say, if you haven't seen that, don't watch the unfrosted Pop-Tarts movie. Watch Bridget Jones' Diary. It's way better. You'll have a much better time. Okay, everyone, can we talk about something else? Soulless?
Sure.
I watched a Soulless movie.
Soulless?
Soulless. No soul. There was no soul
quantum
in the movie.
Quantum of Solace?
No soul. Like, you know how most of us have souls, Brett?
I don't. Can you but relate? I'm aware. Yeah. I'm aware.
So I said I was going to watch this movie last
what
weekend.
Is
and
it? What is it?
Sorry, Roadhouse. Talk. The remake of Roadhouse.
Oh, a soul. I thought that movie was called Soulless.
No, it's got no soul.
Oh my God.
We're like freaking who's on first? Like, why?
Third base.
It's Roadhouse starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor. I watched it.
How was it?
It was terrible. But have you seen Roadhouse the original? I forget.
No, I haven't seen Roadhouse the original. It's actually one of my kind of like 80s blind spot movies. I should have seen it. I apologize. I was wrong about so many things today.
Yeah, you are. Continue. Here's Brady's homework, now that he's going to do it. Watch Bridget Jones's Diary and watch Roadhouse. But
I don't do homework. I graduated college 15 years ago.
But so the original Roadhouse is like not a good movie, but it's beloved, you know, cult classic because it's like corny, it's cheesy, it's got great lines, great fights, whatever. They remade it with Jake Gyllenhaal in the Patrick Swayze role. The whole movie is about this place called the Roadhouse, which is like a dive bar. And the owner is like, oh, these ruffians keep coming and screwing up my dive bar. So I got to hire Patrick Swayze to be the bouncer. And it's like, yeah, it's set in like the South. I think it's you see this place, the bar, the Roadhouse, and you're like, yeah, that's a grungy ass place. Like, they have a band, but it has to play in a cage so that people don't attack them.
When people throw tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to bring tomatoes to this bar just in case I don't like a band.
Yeah, exactly. People are fighting all the time. And you're like, yeah, of course. Like, I can see why Patrick Swayze has to be there because it's like all these tough motorcycle gangs like fighting and he has to like protect the honor of the bar.
Yeah.
That's the most important part of this movie called Roadhouse. The remake of this movie, the Roadhouse in question, is literally like the all-inclusive bar I went to in Mexico, where it's
Coco
like
Bongo Club.
Yeah, it's like on the water. It's a gorgeous beachfront property. It's like, and the guys that Jake Gyllenhaal has to defend it from are like polo wearing college kids, like fucking nerds. We have to fight as a society against the nerdification of so many of these movies. They're just like, let's make it about nerds, losers. Like, I'm watching these guys that Jake Gyllenhaal is beating up. I'm like, I could beat these guys up. Like, this is such an incredible, like, the one most important thing about a movie called Roadhouse is the Roadhouse itself needs to have like personality, needs to
be rowdy.
Like, yeah.
You got to not know if like a guy's going to whip out a knife.
I'm watching this. I'm like, I would bring Goldie to this bar. Like, there's no, my daughter, my 2-year-old child. There's a place on the side of the Roadhouse. There's a place to rent kayaks. Like, it is seriously like a resort bar. No, you don't have to pay. By the way, you don't have to pay money to watch it. It's free on Amazon. But Amazon, if you have a certain package, which I have, now plays ads in between in the movies.
Oh, so no, they do. They send an email. They're like, hey, yeah. We have exciting news. We're actually optimizing our monetization strategy. And for you, it's really great because you get to watch ads in the middle of something that you didn't get
to
watch.
So it's like, it's so bad. Conor McGregor plays like the super tough bad guy. It's really bad. I mean, We watched the whole thing. And I just couldn't believe it.
That's on you.
I kind of watched it in like awe. You know, I was like, I can't believe that this was the choice. It was a crazy choice.
I said this on like the podcast like a week or two ago that Gyllenhaal and Doug Liman directed it. They made the movie. Right. They were incredibly proud of it, and they took it and and the head of Prime Video said, great, we're going to put this straight on the streamer. We're not releasing this in theaters. And they took it straight to Bezos. And Bezos was like, yeah, this movie sucks.
Yeah.
And like and now Gyllenhaal like, and Lyman won't work with Amazon again or whatever because they buried Bezos, their poor movie. What the fuck? What's wrong with people? What's wrong with people?
Even a broken clock
who is thinks right this is a good? Who thinks it's a good idea? Yeah, he should be punching mean people, people bigger than him.
But in some ways, I am grateful because it got me onto this after watching that movie and being like, oh my God, the 80s version is just like, it's not a good movie, but it makes you so nostalgic because it at least like had a point of view, yeah. Was interesting, like was very straightforward. But so then
I never, saw it, but I definitely felt that it was like in the Top Gun vibe where it's like, this is not the best movie ever made, but like, no. It has an aura about it. It has a it's point lovable. Of view. It has a yeah. personality. And it's like a lovable action movie. Yes,
100%. But so then I went down this like route after watching that where I was like, we need to watch RoboCop.
Verhoeven.
Yes. And you know what? Again, so we went and watched RoboCop. And then last night we started the Terminator, the original Terminator.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It's like, it's truly like watching movies from another world now because you're like, wow, this movie has a point of view. It has like really interesting looking people in it. It has like nonstop action. Like, yeah, maybe the effects are a little corny now. They're obviously going to be dated, but especially in RoboCop, like the point of view, the details, the funny little like moments that are, that just jump out is like, wow, this is a fully fleshed out world that is so interesting to be in. I'm just like, no one's making movies like this anymore.
No, they're not. No.
I can't believe it. I mean,
it's why I liked it's why I really liked The Creator, which came out last summer, which, you know, I think people liked it generally. There were some issues with it, but it was like a weird world. It had a personality. It had a point of view. It had style. It had moments where I was like, fuck, I've never seen anything like this in a movie before. Yeah. It was cool, like new action sci-fi movie. And everything else is just literally like, hey, let's remember some cereal brands for 2 hours. Let's just list them.
Yeah.
Like, is this just what it is? Are we making everything just to be like an algorithmic video where it's just like, hey, let's list things. Hey, here's eight cereals that you remember. Great.
I don't know, but it was very jarring to watch something like Robo. And like, I don't know, because I didn't see RoboCop as a child. I know that it was big. It's like a big movie. It's not like it's like an underrated gem. But to watch it now as an adult, when like, and like the actionness of it, the R-ratedness of it, like same for Terminator, we talk about this all the time. We talk about this all the time. But like in Terminator, it's like they gotta have sex. You know, like that's kind of the point. They have to.
Oh yeah.
And it's like it's beautiful. Like I mean, no, you would just never see that. Like who's gonna do that in a movie these days, other than Yorgos Lanthimos?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
he should
I don't
do
know.
A Terminator movie.
This podcast is becoming like Danny yells at Cloud. Like last week, I was like, why do young women just want to get married? and now I'm like, why don't movies have soul like they used to?
It is weird that every 22 year old is married now. Like, why?
It's because they want to do it. And you can't do it until you get married.
That is not true. That is not true.
They weren't all wins. It wasn't all wins for me this week, though. I will say I did also watch Channing Tatum's film Dog, which is about Channing Tatum bringing
you
a dog.
You watch so much stuff.
I know. What else am I going to do?
I didn't watch anything this week. I didn't watch anything.
Well, thank God for me.
I barely watched Survivor.
Thank God for me. You watch Survivor, yeah. I watch the rest of the shit. Talk about.
What else we got? I'm good. I've got everything.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I went through it all.
we've all been through it. We've been through it all together.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for listening, for being here with us as we discuss anything but Survivor. We'll be back next week.
Yes, I thought it was a touch and go episode for the first like 20 minutes or so. Because but then I thought we really found our groove. I thought we really like.
This is a new portion of our podcast stupid. Where we're going to give self reviews at the end of the episode. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll be back next week. Who knows what we'll watch? You never know what we're going
to
watch.
I am actually watching movies this week. I actually have tickets to see movies this week. I'm not going to say what they are. They're going to be surprises.
Ooh, okay. Keep us on the edge of our
seat. Skarkle says, is it bad that I mix up RoboCop and Kindergarten Cop? Yeah, perhaps.
Wait, they're very different.
It's a tumor. Perhaps it's a tumor.
You're also like, wow, a lot of the 80s movies, it's very ACAB, you know? Like, that did not transfer. It's a lot of them that are like, actually, cops are bad.
Like, yeah, but then everyone like remembered them as like, cops are good, or like Wall Street is good. Like, right. The 80s were this time of like, it was like a conservative era. You had the great conservative president who perhaps might have pushed over the first domino that ruined America.
Yeah.
Our boy, rest in piss. And all these movies from that time, RoboCop, Wall Street, you know, these things that kind of glorify like the hedonism of the 80s and like the authoritarianism of the 80s. And you have a bunch of people who are like, RoboCop is cool. He's a cop who shoots.
Yeah.
Gordon Gekko is cool. He's a guy who trades money.
He's got money. Yeah.
No, where like when these things are actually satires about like the ill of these things. Anyways, it's just something to think about as we wrap up our show, we wrap up the week.
Yeah. There's a lot of deep thoughts out there. I can't get into it. We have 3 minutes left. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week and you'll get to listen to what Brett saw. Thanks for being with us in the chat. Good chat today.
It was lit. It was lit today.
It was very lit. We'll be back next week. Thank you. Bye, Jeffy.
Bye, Jeffy.